Hello, and welcome to the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. If you're growing your photography or creative business, you're in the right place. Each week, we deliver a workshop-style solo show, expert interview, or motivating story from our community, so you can tune in to find encouragement, motivation, and ideas to help the right people find you and your amazing work. I'm your host, Kristen Sweeting. I'm a photographer and coach, and my favorite thing is helping dangerous creatives just like you stand out in a world that just wants us to blend in. I'm so glad you're here. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. This episode is a re-air of a popular episode that goes along with last week's Things to Focus On If You're Over 100K in Revenue. And we feel like this is a great one to listen to as we begin the new year. So happy 2024.
This episode is a part two because we did a part one a couple weeks back about things to focus on when you're a photo business that is under 100K in revenue. And today is about what to focus on when you're a photo business that's over 100K in revenue. I am so excited to talk about this because making money used to be super scary for me. And now it's not so much. And I love talking about it, love helping people grow their business, and love this kind of zone of growth too, because I think there's so much effort that goes into just getting to 100K that feels like the pinnacle, right? And at least for me, when I got to that level, I didn't know what to do after. I'm like, okay, now what? You know, like, have the rules changed? Is there something else I should be doing? And I had a coach that told me the thing that gets you to one level is not the thing that's going to get you to the next level. And that really opened up a lot of perspective for me because I kept trying to repeat the same things I was doing as I was growing my business to this other level that I had reached. And I was just being met with frustration. Things weren't working. I felt like I was on a hamster wheel. I just felt like I was marketing constantly and nothing was working. And there's just no worse feeling than that. And the other thing that it's kind of hard to talk about because I think, you know, we get weird about money and get weird about what things cost and such and such. And I do think it's good to have these conversations. But while it's like if you are part of the percentage that gets your photography business to 100K, that is a big deal. Is a big deal because not a lot of people do that. But also, after expenses and taxes, we're still talking take-home pay of 50 to 60K. It's not a huge salary at the end of the day, and life is expensive, and unexpected expenses come up. Things get thrown at us that we didn't expect. Some of us have student loans. Some of us have medical expenses. There's so much to pay for, especially if you're living in the U.S., that just creeps up on us. The cost of living is high. So it's not uncommon to hit that 100K goal that we think is this pinnacle and still be like, I'm still stressed about money. So this is for as you continue to go forward and just to kind of normalize that it's okay to still be stressed about money if your photo business is bringing in 100K. It's still costs a lot to run a photography business, and those expenses and the taxes are not minuscule. So what's next for us? What do we want to grow to? How do we want to move forward? And what goal feels fun now? So some questions I always ask people when they're at this place trying to move forward, so I'll ask you, is what would be fun to try? We get to a little bit let the pressure off at this stage and be like, what would be fun? Do I think it would be fun to try podcasting? Do I think it would be fun to try this other type of photography? Do I want to make presets? Like, what looks fun out there? Have you seen someone else do something that I get excited about or a little jealous of? I'll be honest, some of the things that I do now, I was once jealous of other people because they had the courage to do it and I didn't. And the jealousy was a really good signal to me that maybe it was something I wanted and I just wasn't letting myself have it or was telling myself I shouldn't do that. So I started getting curious about my own jealousy, more my own judgment of other people, when they were doing things that were putting themselves out there, and I started to be a little judgy, I was like, oh, interesting. And what needs do I see around me, and is there a way to solve them? So we can start kind of like, maybe you've kept your head down, you've been moving forward, you've been barreling forward, being like, let's get this 100K goal. And now you're looking up a little bit and looking around and being like, what else is going on out here? What might be fun to try? What do people seem to need? Does it align with my gifts and my talents and stuff that I like doing? And is it time to expand my capacity? So, you know, 100K still ends up being 50 to 60K after expenses and taxes. So maybe it's time to raise that another 100, 200K to get to where we're paying ourselves a six-figure salary. That would be great, right? I feel like we should all be having six-figure salaries here. So let's do it. So number one in things to focus on after 100K in revenue, outsourcing and building your team. This one I started talking about on Instagram stories the other day and everyone chimed in and it was super fun because I at one point put a ton of pressure on myself. Honestly, I still do put a ton of pressure on myself to do everything alone. It's this mentality that we have to do it alone. We're supposed to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We should somehow be able to manage childcare and cooking and household stuff and making lots of money and all these things. And honestly, there's just too much that we're each responsible for, especially if we're working and we have responsibilities at home and we have other people to take care of. It's just too much. And I'd always look around at other people and feel like they somehow were managing it all and I didn't understand how they were doing that. And so when I started building my own team, I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't hide the fact that I had people helping me. At first, the first person I hired was a coach, and they helped me learn how to make more money. Second person I hired was a therapist. They helped me learn how to manage my anxiety. And then I just really slowly started building onto my team. And I think a lot of people think building a team means you have to hire associates, you have to have other photographers, you have to manage all these people. And there's other ways of building teams that can still take some stress and responsibility off of you while not having to run this huge team or this huge business. So some things that I did that were really helpful when I was slowly building a team is having someone come a few hours a week to help me around the house. When Hudson was little and it was just me and I was working and I didn't have childcare, there was like one day a week where I had someone come to the house, would play with him, but also would do laundry and would tidy up things and run some errands and buy groceries and do a little bit of food prep. One of the things I realized during that season is I stopped eating food or I dropped so much weight. I wasn't feeding myself. And so anytime I would find things like that where I'm like, I'm dropping the ball here, I would try to fill it with a support person. And that person ended up being a huge, huge help for me because I didn't realize how much mental space was being taken up by my laundry. I don't know if y'all have something like this, but for me, my pet peeve is laundry. I've always been this way. I would just pile the clean laundry on my bed and I would lay next to it and fall asleep and eventually, you know, wear one or two things, like keep taking the clean laundry off my bed from the pile. And then I would go to sleep next to it at night and I'd never end up folding it. And eventually all of it would be dirty again and I would wash it all again and it would go back on my bed. This is like high school, college. Sorry about this, Mom. Honestly, as an adult too, I think I just slept next to my laundry last night because I don't currently have someone helping me with this. But when I started finding things like that, I would be like, okay, cool. How can I outsource this? Is that something I'm allowed to outsource? And so much of it is like being afraid to give ourselves permission to build the team around the things we don't enjoy. So that was huge for me, having a little bit of the household responsibility taken off my plate. Some questions to help you figure out what might be helpful for you is, what do I need to do? What do I hate doing? And where do I feel things are too heavy, are causing fights, are causing chaos or overwhelm? And kind of making columns, you know, what are the things that I love doing that I have to do? So if you're a photographer, that's photographing the wedding, right? or photographing the family shoot. Maybe it's the client communication. Maybe it's the marketing. I've never ever outsourced Instagram. I feel like marketing is my job or sales is my job, you know? So keeping those things in your I have to do these list, and then in the list that's like, I hate doing these. These cause me stress daily. Writing those things down and figuring out, like, is there something that I can do to outsource to build my team? Not that you want to hear me do mouth calculations on a podcast because that's boring, but just like as a quick example. So if you're hiring someone to help around the house for $20 to $30 an hour, but maybe for you to go out and photograph something, you charge $500 to $1,500 an hour for photography. So you see, if you're doing that calculation, so let's just use 500. Say you charge 500 an hour for photography. For 8 hours, that's 4,000. Or if you charged $1,000 an hour for 8 hours, that's 8,000. $30 times 8 is 240. So 4,000 minus 240 is 3,760. Or 8,000 minus 240 is 7,760. So I don't know about you, but I'm okay with that math. You know, I'm okay with outsourcing that thing so that I can increase my capacity in the things that I'm skilled to do at a higher price point. And I know it doesn't always one-to-one work like that. Like, obviously, you have to go and book another client too. But even if your time is used, like, even if that time I get to do more sales calls or I get to do more networking or more marketing to bring in that one extra client, that can make, like, such a huge difference over time if you start compounding that out. So I try to look at that when I'm making these decisions too of, like, can I afford this thing? And I think we often see building a team as a debit, like it's taking away money from us instead of like, what is this allowing us to do? How is this allowing us to actually bring in more money to our business over time with that energy, with that mental space that you're getting back and with that time you're getting back? So if you like journaling, which I do, I love journaling, you can spend a little time writing, what would I do with that extra time? Would I work a little bit extra? Would I spend more time with my family? Maybe I've been neglecting my health. What would I do with that open space if I did a little bit of outsourcing? And that could be household stuff. It could be a VA. It could be an editor. There's so many different options and what to start trying with. And it doesn't have to be all things at the same time, just a little bit here and a little bit there until kind of find what works for you. Okay, number two, things to focus on for a photo business over 100K in revenue is defining your goals. So this is where, to me, the paths start to diverge. There's so many different options of how to grow beyond 100K in your business, and you really need to figure out what feels fun and right and aligned and good to you. So many options. One path is growing a team, which is, you know, I want to have a bunch of photographers shooting for me under my name. That was never one that felt super aligned with me, but it does for a lot of people. And I think it's great if you want to run a team like that. But it's okay to have that, this one's maybe not for me, or this one is for me, let's try this. So some examples of kind of defining those goals that I wrote down. One, like, I want to work part-time doing work I love and pay myself $200K after taxes and expenses. So that's a really nice actionable goal because you are like, okay, that means I need to book this many weddings at this price point and need to figure out and like know my taxes and expenses so I can pay myself this amount at the end of the day. Or I want to build a team of people that becomes internationally known around the world, team of photographers. Or I want to help other photographers or creatives get more clients through SEO. I want to host intimate events to be able to have deep conversations. Or I want multiple income streams so I never have to worry about wedding bookings. So think about like what's something that you're like, ugh, if I never had to worry about an inquiry booking me or not, that would feel so good. Or if there was a stream of income that I could count on every month, that would feel so good. Or if I knew I never had to work on Wednesdays, I don't know. So start thinking like, what are my goals? Define the lifestyle, define the goal, and feel free to try different things. I feel like some of these things we won't know till we try it, but you know, you kind of got to learn by trying. Okay, number three, things to focus on over 100K in revenue. niche down, raise those prices and elevate markets. So this is like changing your position in the market, which could be a goal, if you wanted to at this point. So just some quick math, 10 weddings at 10K is 100K, 20 weddings at 15K is 300K, 15 weddings at 20K is 300K. And if you're kind of going with like a 50% profit margin, that's, you know, 100K in take-home pay or 150K in take-home pay for both of the two other options. I also ran, you know, photo shoots. So $3,000 for a portrait shoot. If you do 8 of those a month, that's 24,000 times 12 is 288. So that's kind of a range for portraits. Or if you were charging 1,000, that's 17 shoots a month, which gets you to 200,000 in revenue. So niching down, getting those prices up will help you get towards some of those multiple six-figure numbers and get to the six-figure paycheck at the end of the day. And that includes your pricing, client experience, portfolio, all of those things get really important when you're raising positions in the market. And it just, I feel like there's not really a way to get around raising pricing when you're a photographer. Sure, we can bring on other people, we can scale a business, but most of us are wanting to create something really meaningful for people, create a great experience for people, and make a difference in people's lives. And that does come with a cost. It comes with a cost to us, to our energy, and also to our clients so that we can maintain that level of quality. So I think for anyone raising above 100K in revenue, focusing on pricing and raising position in the market is really, really key. It can help with some of that burnout, help give you energy back, and end up working with really awesome clients this way. Sometimes people really don't want to mess with their pricing. They feel good about it. And the option forward for that is bringing on other team members to help you deliver those shoots. So multiple photographers doing shoots, multiple people doing weddings, kind of having that team-based approach, which is also a pretty big strategic move and takes a lot of kind of reworking to make that work, but is also a path forward to the multiple six figures is to increase your volume. And then you also have to increase the marketing to support that. This leads into number 4, which is expanding visibility and capacity. So if you're expanding your capacity, a lot of times that requires hiring more people to help you deliver on what you're creating. And to do that, you also have to increase the visibility of what's going on, what's going out into the world so that people can hire you at a higher rate and your team. So you're kind of switching at this point. We switch from being the main person that delivers the shoot to more of the spokesperson or the manager or the CEO of your business. So this is a personality choice. This is what you like doing more than another. Some people love this, some people don't. So it's in being a lot more in the spotlight of marketing, sales, being kind of that spokesperson, and then having other people deliver the service of the photography. I've seen this work really great with portrait photographers, people with a studio, is kind of building out that team so that your job is kind of bringing people in the door and working with them and mentoring the other photographers, and the photographers that you've hired are the ones creating the shoots, creating the work, and going from there. And number 5 thing to focus on for a photo business over 100K in revenue is creating something that's scalable. This is why a lot of photographers at this point get into education or creating a course or PDFs or presets or something that they can sell to more than one person at a time. And this doesn't, when I say scalable offer, this doesn't mean you have to have a gigantic business. Like, you can still have a really intentional, small business that makes a big impact. But having an offer that you can duplicate and that you can sell to more than one person at a time really does help your efforts go so much farther. So again, some options are presets, PDFs, guides, trainings, public speaking, VIP days, group programs, online courses, retreats, dinners. So whether you're a photographer or any other kind of creative, there's so many different options that have that possibility to create the group effect or that scalable effect, so that instead of showing up to shoot one wedding, and having to do that over and over and over, you can condense that into one day or one retreat or one program and just maximize the effort that you're putting out there into this one thing that then can be sold again and again and again. I like to say passive income is kind of a thing, but everything requires effort. Even if you're making money in the stock market, it requires some effort. So, you know, most things that people say are passive income aren't super passive. You're still having to sell it. You're still having to make it. You're still having to market it. But it does let you have something that is leveraged so you can use your time to make more of an impact and make more revenue. So there's our five things. I'll go back through them. And just remember, you don't have to do all of them. Some things might sound exciting. Maybe it piqued some interest of like, hey, let's try this. And maybe some of them were like, I definitely don't want to do that. I have my list of that as well, where I'm like, I definitely don't want to do that. So number one was outsourcing and building your team. This could be at home. This could be in your business. So many different ways to build a team, outsource, automate the things that are really stressing you out. Number two, defining your goals. Number three is niching down, raising prices, elevating markets. Number four is expanding visibility and capacity. That's really leaning into the marketing CEO version of running your business. And then number five is creating something scalable. So I hope this was helpful. If you listened to it and enjoyed it, if you're at this place in your business where you're trying to figure out what's next, what feels exciting but not overwhelming, what do I want to try next? I have all those questions going on in your head and a million different options and it's overwhelming or whatever, feel free to message me on Instagram. I love talking about this stuff. And if you're feeling pinged to apply for the mastermind for 2023 and you want to talk about it, let me know. We can set up a call or I can shoot you the application. So thanks again for joining the Dangerous Creatives podcast. I really, really appreciate any time you tune in, you listen, you share with a friend. It means so much that you spend an hour listening to me in your headphones. So thanks for being here. I hope it is helpful. And let me know what you're going to work on next. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Jamie Lono and Shammy D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time.